Lord willing, tonight I'm going to be speaking out of Acts chapter 20 on all the counsel of God. I've entitled the message for this morning, If I Have Found Grace. It comes from verse 3 of our text, and I think this is a concept that very few people have ever even considered. Look in verse 3. Abraham speaking, and he says, My Lord, if now I have found favor. That's the same word that is said of Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He says, If I have found favor. Now, I love the narrative we just read. Abraham is 99 years old. Look in the last two verses of chapter 17. In the selfsame day was Abram circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money, and of the stranger were circumcised with him, and the Lord appeared to him. Now, evidently this had just taken place. Very little time had elapsed between his circumcision and the Lord appearing to him in the tent. And we read in verse 1, And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. This event having just taken place. Verse 2, And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. He didn't see him coming walking up. All of a sudden he looked up, and lo, there were three men that appeared to him. And when he saw them, he ran. This 99-year-old man, he ran. He was in a hurry. Perhaps still sore from what had taken place, but yet he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself down to the ground. Now, why did he bow himself down to the ground? He knew one of these men was the Lord. Well, how did he know this man was the Lord? The Lord had appeared to him before, and he knew him, and he recognized him. If the Lord appears to mere you, we will recognize when he is preached and when he is not preached. Because we know him. And we will know if the one being preached is not the one he's revealed himself in his word by. We'll see the difference. Abraham knew this was the Lord, and he did what everybody does who sees him. He hit the dirt quick and bowed and worshiped. Verse 3, And he said, My Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight. We're going to come back to that. But I love his attitude, not some cocksure, arrogant confidence. But if I have found favor in your sight. I think of that hymn we sing, Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. That was this man's attitude at this time. If I have found grace in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. You know, I see the gospel in these next verses. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. Now, I like thinking of this. I need my feet washed. And it is only in having my feet washed that I rest. And the only place I rest is under the tree, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only place I find comfort. Nowhere else. That was what Abraham said to these men. He says in verse 5, I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, that after that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant. They said, do as thou hast said. And don't you love to picture this? And Abraham hastened into the tent. I mean, Sarah was in the tent. He knew she was there. And I can see this old man running in there. Sarah, you need to get this meal ready. I mean, he wanted to be hospitable to the Lord, and he was so excited about him being there. And he hastens into the tent, runs in there. Sarah, get this meal ready. Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And then verse 7, Abraham ran into the herd. Can't you see this old man running into the herd? And he fetched a calf, tender and good, and he gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it. Get this dress quick. There's no... be in a hurry. He spared nothing. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before them, and he stood by them, watching them while they ate. He didn't feel like he had any business eating this meal with them, but he stood by them, waiting to obey whatever they said. Now let's go back to verse 3. That is a beautiful scene, isn't it? Seeing Abraham's conduct. But he says in verse 3, my Lord, if, now he'd seen a lot. He'd been walking with the Lord for 25 years. When the Lord appeared to him in Genesis chapter 12, and you'd think, well, is that unbelief? Why would he be saying, if I found grace in your sight? I understand. Don't you? If I have found favor in your sight, do not pass away. Let me have your presence. If I found grace, if I found favor in your sight. Now, how many times have you heard people make this response to grace? If I believe what you believe, if I believe grace like that, well, I'd do anything I wanted. I'd sin without restraint. There wouldn't be any problems in salvation by grace. Now, what someone demonstrates when they have that response is the state of their heart. That is what they do. Because they don't know the grace of God. They don't really know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what they do. All they're doing is exposing what's really in their heart when they make that response. But Abraham, if I found grace in your sight, don't leave me. Don't pass by. Now let me tell you 2 things about grace before we consider this request of Abraham. Number one, grace is the difference between heaven and hell. Now let me repeat that. Grace is the difference between heaven and hell. And number two, the only person who has a true appreciation of the grace of God is a sinner. The only person that has a true appreciation of the grace of God is a sinner. I love that scripture in Romans chapter 5, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Are you a place, I'm not talking about the way you were yesterday, I'm talking about right now. Are you a place where sin abounds? Are you a sinner? I'm not talking about, I used to be. No, we're not talking about that. If you used to be, that means you're not now. Are you a sinner? I always, there's a part of me that hates saying this because I think, well, people are going to be thinking, well, what's he doing? But I find this to be true. I am just as evil as I've ever been. Just as sinful. The same. I know that's so concerning me. I love it when the scripture says, then drew near all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and even eats with them. The reason Abraham was the friend of God is God is the friend of sinners. And you can see Abraham's conduct at this time, his desire to entertain such an august, glorious guest. Now I pray that you and I will hear this message as sinners. Now go back to Genesis 6. We looked at this in Bible study. What do I mean by a sinner? I mean a Genesis 6:5 sinner. You know, I preached a message a few years ago called Romans 7 Sinners. Well, here, a Genesis 6:5 sinner. Are you one of these? Look what it says in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Would that describe you? Are you a Genesis 6:5 sinner? Well, that underscores what I said, that the only difference between heaven and hell is grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was one of those Genesis 6:5 sinners. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the only person who will appreciate that is a sinner. Now, he'd been a believer, I know, at least 25 or 29 years. If I have found grace in your sight. Now, that concept is foreign to the natural man for this reason. He doesn't know what grace is. If I have found grace in your sight. So before we consider that concept, I'm going to look at six places where that statement is made by men over the centuries. If I have found grace in your sight, what is meant by the grace of God? If I found grace in your sight. Let me give you seven truths regarding God's grace, very briefly. And then we'll have some idea of what he means by if I found grace in your sight. Let me give you seven truths with regard to God's grace that all must be there or it's not the grace of God. And here's the first thing. God's grace is always saving grace. Always. It's not offered grace. It's saving grace. That's why you can't reject grace. Somebody says, well, I reject it. Well, it was never given to you. You can't reject grace. If God gives you grace, you can't reject it because it's always saving grace. By grace ye are saved. We believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Grace is always saving grace. Secondly, God's grace is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is mediated through Him. You can't even think about grace apart from thinking of the person of grace. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's full of grace and truth. Grace comes because of Christ. It's not God's response to you. It's God's response to Jesus Christ, His dear Son. You can't separate the grace of God and the person of that grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, God's grace is eternal grace. It's saving grace. It's grace that can't be separated from the person of Christ. You're saved for Christ's sake. And thirdly, it is eternal grace. The grace any sinner experiences in time was given to him before time began. 2 Timothy 1:9, He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which were given us. Grace is given. It's not offered. It's not thrown out there up for your acceptance or rejection. It's given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now let me tell you this. If you can't trace the grace you have to eternity, it's not the grace of God. God's grace is eternal grace. We just read Jeremiah 31 verse 3, "Behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love." God's grace is sovereign grace. Now what do I mean by God's grace being sovereign grace? Well, let's say I sin against you and offend you. And I come up to you and I say, "I'm sorry I did that, and it's your responsibility to forgive me. You need to forgive me. Now, if you're a Christian, you'll forgive me. And if you have a hard time forgiving me, problems with you." Have I even asked for forgiveness? You only ask forgiveness to a sovereign. And if you have anything about you that can say, "You need to forgive me," like it's their responsibility, you've not really asked for forgiveness. You only ask forgiveness to a sovereign in the sense that it's theirs to give and it's theirs to withhold, and you cannot say, "You need to do this, you're obligated to do this." God's grace is sovereign grace. He doesn't give it to you in response to, "Well, I did this and I did that, therefore that's God's job, He's supposed to forgive me, He's supposed to..." No! God's grace is sovereign grace. He gives it to whom He will. Period. God's grace is free grace. Being justified freely by His grace. There's nothing you do to earn it. It is free to this extent. You are disqualified if you have anything to pay. God's grace is free grace. And I love this. God's grace is righteous grace. God's grace is altogether righteous grace. "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness." It's righteous grace. All sin is punished. Righteousness is rewarded through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's altogether righteous grace. You see, if God gives you His grace, it's a righteous thing for Him to do through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace, now we're talking about God's grace, if I found grace in your side, it's saving, it's in Christ Jesus, it's eternal, it's sovereign, it's free, it's righteous, and God's grace always makes a man do what Noah did. It always makes a man walk with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah walked with God. And if I know anything about the grace of God, I'm going to be the same way. I'm going to walk by faith with the living God. Now that is God's grace. Now, Abraham says, if I found grace in your sight, don't pass me by. Now here's the first thing that someone learns when they've learned the grace of God. Don't leave me. Don't leave me to myself. The worst thing that could happen to me is for God to remove His hand from me and leave me to myself. If I found grace in your sight, don't pass away. Don't leave me. You see, grace humbles a man. And we see that His grace is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, grace is... I never want to speak negatively about doctrine because the doctrine of God... But grace is more than a doctrine. Grace is a person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't pass me by. Now turn to Exodus chapter 33. Now the setting of this passage is the golden calf incident. And look in verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. And if you'll remember, God said, go ahead and go up. I'm not going with you though. Not after this. I'll send an angel, but I'm not going. And Moses was very concerned about that. I don't want an angel to go with me. I want you to go with me. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou also hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. If I have, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. Now, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way. The way of Christ. I am the way, and I'm not going to know it unless you show it to me. Show me thy way for this purpose, that I might know thee. I want to know Him, don't you? I want to know God. I want to know the living God. I want to know Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true and living God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I want to know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. If I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I might know thee. I'm not going to know you unless you show me your way. That I might, he gets right back down to it again, that I might find grace in thy sight. Now look across the page in chapter 34, verse 9. He says again, if now I have found grace in thy sight, here we go again, if I have found grace in your sight. Now, the Lord has just made the most glorious self-disclosure to Moses. You remember when Moses said, show me your glory, and God said, I'm going to do it. I'll make my name pass before you. Look in verse 5. This is the Lord showing Moses His glory. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, and to the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. This is the only response to a revelation from God. And look what he said. And he said, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us." Don't leave us, for it's a stiff-necked people. "And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance." Now, if I have found grace in your sight, go with us. Pardon, put away our iniquity and our sin. Pardon our transgression. And take us for thine inheritance by your grace. Turn to Numbers chapter 11. Now Moses is very upset at this time. This is when the Lord was displeased with the Israelites because of them murmuring about the manna. We're tired of manna. And Moses was very displeased. And as a matter of fact, he's so frustrated. He said, "Lord, kill me. I can't deal with this anymore. I can't deal with myself. I can't deal with these people. Just kill me." But look what he says in verse 15. "And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." If I found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Now that word wretchedness is the same word translated in Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, evil and wickedness. Now if I have found favor in thy sight, don't let me see how evil I really am, because I know what'll happen if you take your hand off me. Don't let me see my wretchedness. I want to see enough of my sin to drive me to Christ, and I don't want to see any more than that. I know what why the Lord said, lead us not into temptation, because we know if we're tempted, we know what will happen. And we pray, "Lord, let me not see my wretchedness. I don't want to have anything to do with that. If I found favor in your sight, deliver me from seeing my wretchedness." Now, the only one who really sees our wretchedness is the Lord Himself. That's a sight that only He has seen. And if any of us saw our wretchedness, it drives us crazy. I have no doubt about that. And He says, "Lord, if I found grace in your sight, let me not see my wretchedness." Turn with me to the book of Judges. You know, all I want to see of my wretchedness is what the cross tells me, which is everything. And I want to see more than that. Just believe that here's what you're guilty of. Here's what I'm guilty of: killing the Son of God. Does anything else need to be said? Nothing else needs to be said. Let me not see my wretchedness. Now this is Gideon, Judges chapter 6. Verse 17. Now the Lord has already told Gideon that He's going to use him to deliver the children of Israel from the Midianites. He's told him. And you know, Gideon, one of the things that I find about this man is he doesn't trust himself. He just flat out does not trust himself. Even if the Lord tells him, he still doesn't trust himself. And here he goes again, verse 17. If now I have found grace in thy sight, show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Now the Lord talked to him. He said, if you have, show me a sign. Well, I mean, the Lord talked to him. He spoke to him. But Gideon did not trust himself at all. You know, you go on down reading when the Lord promises him something. He said, well, will you give me another sign? I'm going to put this fleece out and in wetness and you make it dry. And then the Lord did that and he turned around and said, I'm going to put it in a dry place. You make it wet. I mean, the man did not trust himself. Now, look what he says in verse 17. He said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present, set it before thee. And he said, I'll tarry until thou come again. Now remember, this is the Lord speaking to him. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and an unleavened cakes of ephah flour. The flesh he put in a basket. He put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I've seen an angel of the Lord's face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Unto this day it's yet in Ophrah of the Abizite rites. Now here's the point. If I found grace, give me a sign. What was the sign? The acceptance of the sacrifice. If I found grace in your sight, give me a sign that gives me some assurance that you accept me. And that sacrifice was consumed. And the sign is that God accepted the sacrifice of His Son. Nothing else is needed. If I found grace, give me a sign. The resurrection of Christ. It is finished. Last one, 2 Samuel 15. Now let me give you a little background before I read this passage of Scripture. You remember where David, just a few chapters before, this was right before this took place, he saw Bathsheba with a horrible abuse of power. He brought her to himself, committed adultery with her, and then tried to cover it up by murdering her husband. You say, could a believer do that? If you ask that question, you betray a great ignorance of yourself. And the Lord sent Nathan to him. You know the story. Thou art the man, but the Lord hath put away your sin. And he said, the sword is never going to depart from your house because of what you've done. It's never going to depart. So right after that, guess what happens? A coup from his own son, Absalom. His son is going to kill David. David has to flee. His son's going to kill him. He leaves Jerusalem. And then in chapter 15, verse 25, hear the words of the man after God's own heart. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of the God into the city. He'd taken the ark with him when he fled. He said, carry back the ark of God to the city. If I shall find favor, grace, in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Now that's the response of the man after God's own heart. If I do find grace in his sight, and he'll bring me back. But if he doesn't, if I find no favor in his eyes, and this is the mark of someone who has found favor in his eyes, if I find no favor in his eyes, let him do what seemeth him good to me. If I found favor, if I found grace in your sight, don't pass away. Don't leave me to myself. Show me your way that I might know thee. Pardon all my iniquities. Don't let me see my wretchedness. Let me see your satisfaction with the sacrifice. And whatever's good in your sight is good. Let's pray.